Hello.
Hello.
The following podcast contains three mates talking shit over some beers. As you can imagine, the language can get a wee bit hairy from time to time. So, get involved. Grab a beer and join us at Drunk Therapy, the podcast.
The Shane's self-isolating like no one I've ever heard about before. He's day one self-isolating, he went out and bought a table. He's had workies in the house, and then he went, oh, I'm just going to go a jog. Guy that phoned me the day before and went, oh man, I'm going to have to do it. My girlfriend's immunocompromised. She works in a hospice. You know, there's a lot of people there that could suffer from any passing of this virus. So I'm going to stay in the house. And then he exposes himself to so many people, more people probably than they would have if he'd came into work.
Nah, because the workman was already planned, so he had to come. Because I don't want to stop people having jobs, you know. And then when I went for a run, I just ran away from people. Like, there'd be someone on the footpath and I'd cross the road like I was afraid they were going to attack me. But I was like, get away with your breath.
Is it not a case that even where shit's really serious, you're still allowed to go for a run or a walk?
Yeah, they're recommending it, eh? They're recommending go to a park and just keep your distance from people because...
Do you think we'll get mass graves from this?
No.
Like, where would you put a mass...
people just going and murdering people and, like, burying them?
No, not murdering them. Like, obviously, there's only so many bodies you can put in a cemetery, or people might not want them burnt, or you can't burn them because there's not enough whatever they use to burn them. So during the plague in the 1920s, there was just mass graves everywhere because there was that many people dying. I was sitting thinking, where would you put something like that? Like, do you think the schemes would get it? Just like, nobody likes them. They're depraved areas anyway. Just bury them in Springbourne Park.
And that sentence is the reason why I am doing social media distancing during isolation. Because you go on Twitter and it'll just be like, oh, someone in... at some university has said that your hand is going to turn into like a fucking flesh-eating monster by 2 o'clock. And at that point you just go, I'll just wait and see. I'm going to start reading this stuff.
I you remember the referendum? And there's been other big events that get you followers. There's people still living off the fact that there were high currency during the referendum because they were sharing so many things. I think this is one of those events where you want to be on social media and you can jump on the narrative so you then grow your follower count, which incidentally would help us get more listeners, Danny, and I feel like you're probably best in that platform. So right now you're being completely selfish.
Social media, I've unfollowed every news-related account and every journalist and everything like that. But I'll look at the headlines for this coronavirus. I'll hear the news on the radio. But beyond that, I don't want to. I told you, like, before all this happened, I said to you that quite selfishly, I just stopped watching the news because it just makes me angry. So now it makes me angry and anxious. And I don't want to be either of those things. So I will just live in a tiny little bubble and have car crash Instagram live encounters with people.
Are you running
Danny,
away?
You've picked the right time to be a single man because I'm self-isolating quite poorly. But the other day, so my partner has a day off during the week and that's her day where she has a silent house. She doesn't have to deal with my shit. It's just a nice day for her to chill out. And I was there the other day and we'd like genuinely, like she would avoid me like the plague. If you were having to self-isolate with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you would fucking destroy them, eh? Honestly, you'd get so sick of them because there's... like in a house, our house isn't big, but it's not tiny, but you just can't escape or you have to go to the shit bedroom with nothing in it for no reason. So I think, Danny, everyone's going to break up out of this and you are just going to fucking clean up, my friend.
It's just cleaning up the mass grave that James was just talking about.
In Springbourne.
In Alexandra Park, yeah.
Oh, no, listen,
that'll be my job.
Don't steal the place. Springbourne Park's a good mass grave. Alexandra Park just doesn't cut it, mate. It's a bit gentrified.
Listen, I'm just there to clean up, right? I'm not fussed about where it is or who's in it. I'm cleaning up the mass grave.
Right. So anyway, we were not going to discuss coronavirus because it's not really us, is it? We're not one fucking the nitty gritty.
What the fuck is the coronavirus?
Exactly. What?
Never heard of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
I thought we were talking about a live show.
Oh, maybe we should dissect a little bit of the live show. But if you haven't guessed already, we have what basically like a fucking LBC show right now. We've got two contributors down the line. Shane is live from his flat in Alexander Parade, and Danny's live from the flat in Mount Florida. Because, well, Danny, you're not self-isolating, are you? You're just you're busy today.
Friends.
And Shane, you're piss poor self-isolating.
Yeah, this is day three of self-isolating for me, and both times I've been dragged out of my house for hours on end so far. But I now intend, to, as of right this minute or a few hours ago, that's me. I'm actually seriously going to start jogging, I think. So that'll be something to look forward to for everyone.
That's not self-isolating.
Because you can go, but it's social distancing. Well, so that, I'm not going to be jogging up to old people and going,
licking them.
Two distinctly different things. Self-isolating is when you have displayed symptoms and you're trying to avoid getting symptoms because somebody's immunocompromised, like Shane's missus, and you go, right, I'm self-isolating and I'm not going anywhere. Social distancing is what you're doing then. You're going and you're not kind of interacting with anyone, but you're still trying to have some normalcy in your daily routine. That's completely different. And it's really pissing me off. It's like people say they've got a selfie and there's fucking, they've got their arms around people in the photo and you're like, mate, that's not a selfie. That's a normal fucking photograph.
Aye, well, I didn't realise that I'd dialed into the World Health Organization, so I apologise for mixing those two terminologies up.
You fucked it, man.
What I'm doing is I'm staying in the house because I want to protect others, and I agree with the point you're making. There's a lot of very selfish people out there who don't seem to be grasping what's going on, but that's not going to stop me from maybe going for a run or going for a walk, but staying the fuck away from people, because if I don't do that, I mean, people have heard this podcast, I get bored in my flat and I present my penis to trains. Can you imagine that? But with 2 weeks of isolation in me, I would die. I would try to fuck a plug socket, electrocute myself, and I'd die. So I'll go for a walk every now and then.
Yeah, and the schools are off.
Speaking about sticking your dick in places where they probably should or shouldn't be, yeah. At the live show, you started a Tinder, bro. How's that going? Like, is this the worst time in the world to be on Tinder? Because you can do the mad, like, you've got time to work on your pickup lines, but then it's like, hey, do you want to stand on the other side of the window and we could fucking yell at each other? Like, how do you have dates?
Well, I suppose you don't, but I did join them, and I'm still on them. That's been a few days. I did see there was a funny tweet that I seen from someone, I can't remember who, and it was just saying, like, for the first time in the digital era, men now need to learn about what courting was, where you actually need to, like, speak to someone before you go out with them. And to be honest, I'm all for that. I'm up for just chatting to cunts for a wee while before I disappoint them in person.
I like how you just referred to them as – like, have you had any matches? Because we set up some of the lines for your Tinder, and we set up the pictures, and I thought the pictures were fucking fantastic. But have you had matches on that?
I'll be honest, I've veered away from those lines. I just there were some last minute suggestions came in that just worked a little bit better. But
from your brain.
I've matched with people, but I actually got married this morning. That is how well this went.
From someone's window.
Yeah, but because of self-isolation, we were really annoying each other and we actually just got divorced 10 minutes ago. But she's keeping the kid.
Did you use the photos?
Did I use it? No, I didn't use the photos.
Fucking
hell. For fuck's sake, Danny.
Do you know how hard we work? You've been waiting for ages for us to do something on this podcast. Working really fucking hard and then you don't use any of the suggestions or the photos, mate. Like, at least the photo where you holding a fire extinguisher, because that made me hard.
I just wanted to know what it was like to break a promise on this podcast. And to be honest, I see why you do it all the time now, because it's you get a real buzz from it.
Totally, totally. Is it disastrous that you decided to go on Tinder at this period, or do you think that's probably a good thing? Because you might get more conversation, because I was with someone tonight that said, I've never had this many messages on Instagram. People are really bored, so they're not looking for that disposable chat and onto the next one. They're probably longing for a wee bit deeper conversation, so you might be in with a chance of something more substantial.
I genuinely did not think of it that way. I'm just chatting to people. Like, it's been good to an extent of, I'm not very good at chatting to people on Instagram because I'm very conscious of, it just looks like I'm being a creep. So the good thing about all this shit going on just now is that if I message you on Instagram, the first immediate thought isn't, he's going to try and fuck me in the next 24 hours. It's going to be like, he's going to try and fuck me in the year 2023.
Playing the long game. So it's going to be so good as well. It's going to be so good in 2023 when you finally bang this person. And it, the last for, you know, let's say, I'm going to give you 20 minutes.
Digging up the mass grave to retrieve them.
Putting them in the deal, don't you forget about me, and just giving them a good time. There was a headline, right, and this is like the in the midst show of all this kind of fucking coronavirus shit. We're talking about it. There was a headline, front page news in New Zealand was New Zealand like buys up all the sex toys. Basically, people in New Zealand were just stockpiling like these exotic sex toys from overseas because they were worried they wouldn't get into the country. So like around the world, it's big scary stuff, and in New Zealand, they're like, fuck, we need to find something to put in us. Jesus, what if they don't send that double-ended dragon over? Like, it's mental that that's what people are stockpiling. They've got toilet paper. They've still got, like, fucking, I don't know, like, pasta and all that other shit that people were stockpiling. But in New Zealand, they're like, no, we need some more dildos.
The first time I went into a shop after all this was announced, and I thought, all I needed, I think I bought, like, bananas and a couple of bits and pieces. But I laughed to myself a lot in weird situations, and it must make me look quite weird, but it's because I think funny things. And I walked past like the melons, and I was like, I can't buy a melon at any stage in the next few weeks, because if you're like a guy on his own buying a melon, everyone is just going to be like, he's going to fuck that melon. He's going to cut a hole in that melon, and he's going to start fucking that melon. So melon is off the menu. Not that I don't think I've ever bought a melon before in my life, but I certainly will be buying one between now and the year 2023.
Well, speaking of off the menu, and we should talk a wee bit more about the live show, but one of the things we said about on the live show was this is probably the last time that people, for a while, unless we stray into it unintentionally, talk about shit and cum, because it kind of felt like That was an error of Drunk Therapy, where we probably spoke about it for 20 episodes. Or you just veered into the territory of talking about coming for your arse, or coming, making your sinuses, you know, clear, or what do you wank to, or, you know, what's
these
the consistency
are all the things
of your
that shite? You say, don't put this on us.
I'm using my own examples because I can't think of yours. But it's reasonable to say that we're going to try and have a bit more substance in our chat. Do you agree?
Yes. Yes.
Brilliant. I was just about to ask, what are the sex toys for dudes? Like, what are the fruits? As a lady, you've got so many sex toys and so many fruits that are the fuckable. But, like, Danny, you're right. Melons and pineapples. No, not pineapples. You can't fuck a pineapple.
No, not pineapple.
This highlights to fuck the fact that he doesn't listen to either of us. We're not going to talk about it. Where would the guy shag?
He captured melon just in time there. He just remembered at the last second. He said melon. He said that. He said, I remember that now.
Yeah, and also, like, we did a wee bit of a live chat on Instagram. That, well, I say we, Danny did, and it was fucking hilarious. But you were like, we're not going to talk about shit or cum anymore. And then went and talked about shit and cum about 15 times, going, we're not going to do it. We're not going to talk about shit. Telling a story about cum, though. And here's another one about shit. I think we should wean ourselves off. We can't go cold turkey from shit and cum, because, you know, people, I think, we've got a brand, and our brand, whether we like it or not, is shit and cum. And, like, we can't just go to fucking Whole Foods or become, you know, like, I don't know, a salad podcast. We kind of need to ease our way into it, you know?
I understand the point you're making, and that live thing was horrendous. But that was like there was like 20 people. Well, maybe more. on average, it was about 20 people coming and going, and every single one of them just made reference to a shit or cum story. So it's not actually us, it's these fucking filthy bastards that listen to this.
Nah,
think
mate.
Think how weird they're all about to get if they listen to this and think it's funny.
What are they going to address, though? What subject matter are they going to bring up if you're consistently throwing that out?
I've ran out of shit and
yeah, mine's I peaked when I said I shat myself on this podcast. The thing that I didn't get there was him talking about we need to wean ourselves off it. We can't just go to Whole Foods as if that's a comparison, you know. We can't just stop eating the shit and come and go to Whole Foods. What the fuck is wrong with you, mate?
What's the opposite of shit and cum? And I thought like wholesome food and, you know, like, I don't know, salads and shit.
That's not the opposite of shit and cum. Well, better than that, right? Live show, brilliant. Thank you to everyone that braved it in what seems like the last day before Corona Mania. What a fucking night, by the way. Genuinely,
it was fucking so much fun. It was, oh my God, I never had a hangover that bad the next day though. And I had to fucking work. Like, you guys nailed it. You guys both took the day off, but I was sitting there at work, like, sucking air, like, drinking litres of water and just having, you know, that state where you're at work and you don't want to let anyone know that you're hungover, so you're like, nah, just tired, eh, just tired. I was fucking screaming out, smelt of piss, not actual piss, but, like, booze. I was, like, sweating out, like, whatever that bowl you got was, James, and, like, yes. It was a lovely night, but it just, for me, the hangover was probably bigger than the night was, which is, I feel sad about that.
Thanks for describing the aftermath being so horrible, mate, when we're trying to talk about the night, the triumph.
Yeah, the MVP, and I'm using that American, that North American terminology for a reason. The MVP was probably Rob from Canada, who came out with us afterwards, and we haven't heard from him since the night out. So, one, if you're listening, Rob, I hope that you made it back to the hotel okay. And two, I hope you've managed to get out of the country okay.
Yeah, because you always run the risk. Like, we were speaking beforehand, there's a guy from Canada coming to see us. It's like, what if he's here to kill us? Because you don't know, you know, that's a long way to come for a podcast. We obviously know that he was here for the football as well, which was quite sad that got cancelled, considering he came thousands and thousands of miles. But he was just such a cool guy. Like, he did Canadians proud. I have never, ever, ever met a bad Canadian person. Like, they've always been the salt of the earth. They're fucking cool, man. Like, I want a Canadian best friend. No offense, guys.
We've never met him, but Brian Adams is proof that there's bad Canadians out there.
There was a Kiwi there
that was a bit of a pain in the ass, and for once it wasn't me. And I kind of like a jolly heckler. Like, you know what I mean? He was like, James, you were talking about gambling 1,000 days off. It was quite a moving story. And he's like, yeah, woo. But I was like, what? That's not when you laugh and cheer. Like, this is a big emotional story. And he was like, yeah. And every time I'd go to say something, he'd be like, I'm from Christchurch. Like,
to be fair, with this podcast, we do laugh and jeer at nice emotional moments between ourselves.
What my favourite thing about him was when he shouted, you put your brother's balls in your mouth. you put your balls in your brother's mouth. And it was the fact that he knew a lot of the references in the podcast. And I really appreciate that. And I think what attracted him to this podcast was full on display that. And again, I hope that you got back down the road to Liverpool okay, Steve, and keep listening, mate. You're a good guy at heart, and you added so much to a live show.
He was trying to kiss me on the mouth for about 15 minutes, and he was chasing me around the pub. And like, normally I'm like, yeah, fair call, good on you, kiss that little Kiwi man on the face. But it just got to the stage where I was talking to someone and he would just jump in front of them and then just try and kiss me on the face. We'll just start like pulling my moustache and going, it's not as long as mine. And you're going, mate, I reckon you are genuinely like an amazing human, but you are far too pissed. But it was just like being chased by a 6'3", massively bearded puppy that was like, hey man.
This is disgraceful character assassination and shaming. Personally, I thought he was a lovely man and I thanked him for coming. I never spoke to him the whole night.
I think it's a wonderful thing that we can do this. Are you guys having a drink while she's... Because it's odd to me, the studio, because I've just finished work. I'm one of the few that's still going in. And I the the full studio's in blackout other than the, or the full station's in blackout other than the studio, and it's creeping me the fuck out. But I'm having a beer. Are you guys having anything?
Yeah, I'm having a Krabby's, but I've made a wee, like a wee fort. Do you remember like when you were growing up, you used to make forts in the lounge and shit?
Yeah.
I've done one of those, but it keeps falling in my head as I try and drink. But I'm having a Krabby's and I'm overheating like fuck because it was cold. But now I'm sitting there sweating, listening to you guys and drinking beer. It's a weird moment. Eh? Like if I look at what's happening in my life right now, I'm like, fucking hell, you've made some decisions at some stage that have led you to this part of your life.
Have you got your top on?
Yeah, but honestly, I put my top on because I've been working from home. I put my top on for the first time to do the podcast of you guys over the phone where like we can't see each other. It took about 30 seconds for me to turn into the biggest sack of shit. And if anyone's working from home, they'll know what it's like. It's kind of you get up and you go, I don't have to put clothes on today. Fucking hell.
What you said there was, I had to put my top on because I'm working from home, as if you just naturally work topless around the office.
No, like, you don't have to put your clothes on. So I'm getting up, and normally I have go for a run, have a shower, get as presentable as possible. But today I just woke up and went, had a coffee, sat on the couch for 6 hours.
Well, the reason I said that was because when Danny did his Instagram Live, it was on Instagram, he went live last night, and Shane's lovely girlfriend Mala, who on Instagram right now is just chatting about how she's tiptoeing around Shane. I think she's upstairs with hot chocolate, and she sent us a brilliant picture of him just lying on a couch watching it with a little tiny towel around his penis. So I was just wondering the state of play when I was talking to you there, mate. But that's good. Danny, how's your surroundings?
They're fine. I'm drinking lemon green tea because as much as I enjoyed getting drunk for the first time in probably about 3 months last week, I'm back to being healthy and effort.
So the live show was a success. Shane, would you be able to shout Mala and just ask her to give us a three-word review on the live show since she was there?
Mala, can you come down here for a second, please?
This is going to be amazing. We're interrupting her.
By the way, I came back and because I said a few things about Marla during the live show, but I tried to hold myself back and I asked her the next day as I was hungover as fuck, like, hey, how do you think it went? And she's like, oh, there's a few things that were really funny. I enjoyed lots of it. A few points though. And then she sat down and basically gave me 2 hours of things I'm never allowed to talk about again.
Oh,
and
I was like, what were they?
I think I can't. You tried to get me there.
Does she still think I'm a teddy bear?
No, she still thinks you're a teddy bear, but she said she's not allowed to call you that anymore because apparently you're like, I'm not a teddy bear, I'm not. And then you gave her a big hug.
Did I say that?
Was the number three involved at any stage in that conversation?
No, it was more about a fuck off. You guys are baiting me really well. I'm going, I'll tell you. And no, I can't. She's like, can I come onto the podcast just to make the people, like, just to straighten some things up and just make you seem nicer because you're a really nice guy apart from when you're on the podcast. And I was like, thanks.
Oh, Marla knows you're a cunt. That's amazing. Is she going to come down? You can ask a three-word review on the podcast.
Do you want to give us a quick three-word review on the live show?
Not really, no.
Oh, say it louder.
Well done. All right, do that again, but say it louder.
No.
Yeah, stop trying to produce Marla.
Thank you, Marla.
I don't want to. I'm also closing the door.
Ooh. Okay.
I heard you 4 floors up. Shall we just say something about the tone of Shane's voice that I could hear him 4 floors up?
Yeah, he's a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
Marla can't hear what you're saying.
I can't hear a single word.
Yeah, she agreed.
I'm going back to bed, okay?
Night, Marla.
Not, well, you guys, I'm sure I love you too, but you know, mostly for Shane.
Of course, sir. I'm your teddy.
Don't put that in the podcast.
The new catchphrase of this house is can't put that in the podcast. Anytime she'll do something funny and I'll smile and she's like, nope, that's not for the podcast.
Doesn't know that you don't edit it, so it's fine.
That was a very sweet moment. Now let me present to you guys the person in my flat just now, Mr. Hand. Ta-da!
Hi guys, I'm Mr. Hand.
Fucking South Park. Hand,
what's it like hanging out with Danny at night time?
Get out of here, Mr. Hand. Get on. Get out of here. You're embarrassing me.
This is a chance for you to actually tell us about, well, you like highlighted it a little bit in previous episodes, the weird shit you do in your flat. You're in your flat yourself now. You can do it. But first, I just wanted to tell everyone that this will probably go as a bit of extra content, and you'll know about that this week. But the live show audio, because we've spent a long time talking about it there, Mark Cox is completely fucked. We're gonna drop the live audio from that via a camera. And we're hoping to get it tidied up a wee bit, but it's going to be piss poor quality compared to what we usually do. It's up to you guys. If you want to listen to it, listen to it. If you don't, then we'll probably get them back in again. Secondly, the second podcast is completely fine, and we'll drop that soon, and that's got a lot of funny shit in it as well. Danny, weird shit in your flat.
Mate, it's not even been 24 hours yet, and that's me just trying to introduce a puppet character to this podcast.
I really liked you trying to do that voice, and I'd like to hear like his point of view on what it's like living with Danny, what it's like sleeping with Danny, like what it's like just he's there obviously when you're presenting yourself to trains. Like, what does he think about that?
Well, he's gone now because he's on the night shift tonight, so he's away to start his work. He's a very committed doctor, is Mr. Hand. So who knows, as our content ideas drain, you may hear more from Mr. Hand.
See, I just like imagining your hand just like inching, it's like walking its way down your trousers right now, just like not anything dodgy, that's where your hands rest. That's where your hands rest.
Genuinely was scratching my testicles there. I just said that. But with it, other hand.
See, when I gave up gambling, like, see, for the first week at least, right, do you know what the best comparison would be? See, when I gave up gambling for, like, a false time that I gave up gambling, I was like, I'm going to not gamble anymore. And then for, like, 2 days, I was fine, and then I was itching for a bet. That's the only comparison I can make now for when you started talking about the hand just roaming. I was really, really wanting to talk about wanking, and it was fucking so tough to hold myself back there.
You don't always have to talk about masturbation when you're talking about your hands down your pants. I think it's a really natural resting place.
Spoken about that before, to be fair, but yeah. It's what it descends into. And the question I was going to ask, and I won't expect an answer, is do you ever get that like elaborate with your wanks, Danny, that you pretend your hand's not your hand and it's just coming over the side of your leg and fucking its way up to touch your dick?
Only when I would have been about 15 or 16. Do you remember? And it was before the in-betweeners done it. It was somebody else's joke before the in-betweeners done it. And there was that myth of if you sit on your hand and it goes. I remember trying that and it just, you're just having a wank with pins and needles. And that bit, it just...
Yeah, but, I did that as well.
No, I don't foresee my habits changing anytime soon just because I'm in the house a little bit more.
From a masturbation perspective.
Yeah, that has been confirmed and researched by Mr. Hand himself.
He's a doctor. I reckon you should, like, and this is the thing, I won't go into it too much, but I think you should always, you know, every 3 months, you should constantly reassess your style, your situation, I think. And that doesn't just go with yourself. Like, see, like, I won't say too much details here, but, like, every 3 months, I'm going, all right, how can I be a better sexual lover? How can I be a better lover? How can I be a better lover for my partner? How can I be a better lover for my hand? It's just, I think it's a constantly evolving thing. And, like, see, like, don't say you won't change, man, because that's sad.
I didn't say it was. I was just going to say that it was just going to like stay as it was. I'll just
Shane, you're talking too loud.
Come on, we're doing well. We're about to start talking about spunk here.
I think there's a toilet roll.
Drive the train. Back on track.
There's a toilet roll correction coming, Danny. Would you like to eliminate us?
Yeah. This is important because at the day after the live show, and two other tiny little points before I go into this. One, how nice was that moment where the three of us just had a little hug after it? It was just dead nice. It was dead natural.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, we all infected each other, but it was worth it. And secondly, to everyone that was there, like, I've just, like, I feel big thanks. Like, we've formed a little, I'm not good. Now people go, oh, we've got a little family here. No, we haven't. We've got a little cult on the go here. And I think we can start making them do shit soon. So stay with us. Stay with our Instagram live videos. And we're just going to, like, gradually start getting you to do, like, quite culty things at some stage. But that's a while away yet. Sorry, mate.
And you can make a certain point. Did we agree to fucking this old fucking, what's his face? Who's the guy that made people kill people in America? The Hollywood guy? Manson. Yeah. Did we agree to go Manson?
Nah, I'm not saying we need to go Manson, but we could just go for, like, some petty theft and financial gain.
Right, yeah, right. I was thinking we could get people to steal cats and then, like, you could look after them, James, and you'd be, like, king of the cat.
That's great, I'm in.
Or seek revenge on people who say no to coming on our podcast. We will set our tiny little cult / family on you.
Or, oh, do you know what? I'm writing it down just now. I'm definitely going to talk about what I ended the podcast with.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I'm with you. So I'll get back to the point you were trying to get me to make. So the day after the live show, there was a buzz until everything started getting cancelled in the world about Friday afternoon. But it was like a genuine buzz and good reflection. And I made the point, it must have been to you, James, where I was like, do you think it's weird that in amongst all the shit we said, like disgusting, horrible stuff, and people just laughed or groaned a little bit, but I made a comment. No, it was to my family. And I was saying, how weird is it that the one time people seemed like shocked and appalled was when I said that it took me a month to get through a toilet roll. And it turned out, and I was quite half-jaked at this stage of the podcast, but it turned out that I said it took me a year to get through a toilet roll. So it's just to clarify, it does take about a month. Because I said that, and it was pure weird, because everyone went, oh, what? Oh my God. And I was like, well, I don't understand. Like, I use wet wipes, and I'm quite clear on that. But I said a year, and I meant it was a month. So
what you need is a read-up. Well, yes, when it comes to the live podcast, I'll just redub it for you. It takes me a... Mate, and I still think that's quite mental, you taking a month to go through a full toilet roll. That, how much are you using? How further are you? Like, can you take like three... We're not talking about this. Well played. And Shane, you've been selling your soul. Is that right?
Yeah, right. So fucking... All right, well, I don't know if I've made this clear during the podcast, but like New Zealanders are kind of like Canadians and Scottish people to, you know, America and Australia and England. You've got that big fucking douchey older brother that is bigger than you, has more power than you, and they're always just making fucking lots of noise. So like, I don't hate Australian people, but Australians as an idea is something that's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just annoying. And so the other day, a guy at work was going, I do voiceovers, and a guy at work went, hey man, I've got some scripts for you. They could be quite a decent chunk of money if you're keen. I was like, yep, no worries. And he's like, sweet, I'll send them to you. Just one thing, you've got to be Australian. And I was like in my head, I was going, fuck you motherfucker, how dare you? And he sent me the email, and I looked at how much it might be, and I was like, fuck it, I'm Australian today. And I had to do all these fucking wine ads, like, crikey, mate, yeah, how's it going, Struth? Like, the most fucking horrible, like, stereotypical Australian, like, Alf Stewart off Neighbours, or fucking Home and Away kind of voice. And Marla was sitting downstairs going, fuck, that was hard to listen to. And I was like, oh, my God, it was the hardest thing to fucking do. And then it turns out after... probably, I don't know, half an hour of me just pretending to be Australian and fucking selling myself. Honestly, it ate me up inside. Then they didn't even use them. So
you didn't get any money?
No money. And I reckon it was just some cunt trolling me. I reckon it was Callum, and I reckon he's going, well, how funny would this be if I make Shane fucking be Australian? What's his price? Let's see what his price is. I bit straight away. I was like, that'll do. I'll take that.
The biggest thing I took out of that was the fact that Marla went, that was hard to listen to, and now she's had 40 minutes of this. Your relationship's over, buddy.
She's like three stories away, so she can just hear me go, ha! Occasionally, or like, you know, the occasional spunk reference that we're not making that, but yeah, nah. What I've learned so much, and I think I've already known this, and I think people who are listening are probably learning it more, is that she is an angel and far better than I am. So
you'll never achieve independence with an attitude like that, though, doing Australian adverts.
We've already got independence. So, like, you don't fucking, don't you sit here, like, waving your you won't get independence stick at a Kiwi. We're independent.
That's not what Steve, the Kiwi from the live show, was telling me.
As he was trying to kiss you on the face with. This is like the worst time as well, because we've talked about it in a past podcast. You guys are both looking for jobs, and then this happened. How are you guys going? Like, I don't want to like make it all fucking deep and emotional, but like,
mate, you're the only person that wouldn't.
Shane, did you just try and do the middle of our podcast sandwich?
Let's talk about feelings, guys. Let's talk about feelings.
See, the thing is, mate, I was more hurt by a friend today that turned around and said that my legs weren't quite muscly enough. So I went out there and I bought a few chickens, you know, and that's kind of tidied me over for a bit. No, I was going to say that this is the last week of work. It was around about 11 years ago this time that I walked into Pacific Key Galaxy FM at the time and asked for a job. And I don't know if Danny will remember this, but he was out in the car, my car at the time.
Yeah,
with a girl called Shawla, yeah. And they were waiting for maybe about 40 minutes as I did my interview. And that kind of kick-started my career in radio. And it's pretty fucking sad. It's even sadder knowing that I am in this studio every single day for the next 8 days or whatever it is. Only me, the presenter, and the managing director. And there's no one else. So I'm probably getting the saddest leaving night or leaving moment ever where no one will say goodbye. There's not even going to be a fucking card that people sign, and I'm the longest serving member on this team, and I'm not going to, like, you know, this place has meant so much to me, it's helped me grow, and I really don't want to leave radio, but I'm not going to labour on that too much. And I'm not going to, like, one of the things I was looking forward to was, right, I've got a wee bit of respite. I can try and get a job. I've been trying to get one already, but half-heartedly. I'll try and get a job. I'll have a wee month to relax, apply for what I want, maybe do some freelance work. And I had two bits of freelance lined up. And then the fucking coronavirus hit and everybody's in the exact same boat as me, as fucking businesses collapse all over the world. So it's put me in such a shit position, even shitter than I already was. And I can't even groan about it because there's people way worse off than me. So it kind of, it's came at the best of times and the worst of times, to quote some cunt that's famous. but, I mean, it's fucking horrible. Horrible for a lot of people.
I think that's the thing about this. Like, to try and avoid all the cliches people using, and firstly, before I make this point, if I don't know if Katie listens to this or not, but if she has any sense of humour, she will think of an amazing song for you to just play as you walk out of that office on your own. I'm thinking Sound of Silence off the top of my head, but I think there's Bleaker out there just for her to play as you walk out Capo for the last time with no one there to say goodbye to you.
I don't know, mate. I'm planning on staying in this studio for at least an hour and just drinking.
Just drinking by yourself and trying to figure out how to steal all the mic equipment. How can we make this podcast work at my house?
We'll make the podcast work. We will. We've got people that want to help us out with that. And fuck, if we need to do it over Skype and hear Danny wank himself off every 2 minutes and that wee sound, we can.
I enjoy
guys,
it. It's like atmosphere.
Let's stop bringing it back to that, please. Come on.
Sorry.
This is like our internal struggle to just try and like change our lifetime of bad habits. We're like, hey guys, it's another
addiction.
Fighting people or something, and we're pacifists, but we still see someone and go, I'd like to punch them. It's like that, but it's with jizz and poo.
Yeah. Well, this place has meant so fucking much to me, man. Genuinely. And it's helped build my character. And I was at a place when I was in uni, even though I was at this place, I was working here but in a different capacity. I did not have, in my opinion, I didn't have any role models that had worked professionally full time, and I didn't know how I would be able to transition into that, and I was so fucking fearful about working and how I would be able to, you know, give anything to a company. And this place helped me do that. You know, like, fucking fake it till you make it. And I faked it until I made it. And we've achieved so many amazing results. But it is what it is. I can't grumble from having one of the best experiences I'll probably have in my life. And I'm gutted it's going to end in a week. But, you know, there might be something better on the horizon. Or, you know, we've got this podcast from all of us meeting each other through it. So that's a huge bonus. So I'll take that away with me when I'm feeling sad.
And because I work with you, and like, I haven't even really had a moment to reflect, but I was thinking about it today, and I'm like, genuinely, like, see, it's going to be you and about two or three other people at work are the ones I really like. I've got, like, you guys are like good mates. And like, when you're going, I'm like, oh, fuck. I genuinely like going to work every day because I get to work with a mate. You're talented. You're really good at what you do. And it's fun. And now I'm going, well, not only have we lost this fucking mad talented cunt, but also I've lost like my best mate at work who I can chat to. It's fun. We can rant to. And now it's like, oh, fuck. So you like, don't think for a minute you won't be missed. Like, I know it's shit at the moment because, you know, there's no one in the office and you go down the main street at lunchtime and there's no one there. Everyone's fucking on, you know, locked up at home. But like, it's genuinely like, it's going to be a big, big loss for the station, bro.
Cheers, man. Danny, you got any news on your work life?
I don't know. I suppose I fuck knows. I'm listening to you and it's nice. Like, that was quite a nice moment you had there. But I think it was a Monday, and sorry if anybody watched that Instagram live shite. All ten of you will have heard me say this already, but it's maybe important to point out that on Monday I came probably as close as I've had to fucking losing it in a long, long time, just because it was just too much, man. It was like I was pure overwhelmed by everything, like between everything that was going on, all the uncertainty, listening to people not getting the severity of what was going on. And I actually got to a point where I got like the classic, is everything okay message from James. And it was like, as if I'd obviously just gone too far with my darkness and bleakness. But I just switched when I got home from my work about 7. And I just had to switch not switch my phone off, but like I put music on and just put it into the corner, out of sight, had a bath and read a book. And I was like, I just need to switch off from the world. It's too much. And like, with everyone, like, this is a weird thing about this whole thing, is that everyone right now has every right to just be so scared and uncertain and a little bit selfish about their own outlook on stuff. Like, I essentially have a full-time job hinging on this clearing, like, at the rate it, hopefully it does. And so it's a lot to go on. Plus, you still have university work and all that. How the fuck are you might care about writing essays whilst all this stuff's going on? But you're also worrying, like, look at the guests, some of the guests we've had on, and they've had shows cancelled, and essentially, like, their livelihoods and their income has completely stopped as comedians, and then people who are listening to this who have lost money through work and all that. So, I don't know, like, everyone's allowed to kind of reflect and worry about themselves in this situation, but I reiterate the point of to just take a step back away from it every now and then. You're going to be bored. For the love of fuck, do not watch the rolling news, because you'll drive yourself insane. Just do what James done. That was a nice thing. Focus on your positives and kind of everyone just try and fucking get a smile on your face. Develop a dark sense of humour. That's what you need to do. Find humour in everything because it helps a lot.
That's a lovely message, mate. And well done. You know, I've seen you do many interviews for jobs that I think that you should have had. Then again, I don't see who's on the other side, so I can't fully say that that's the truth, but I'm really pleased that you've been offered a decent job in an industry that you can grow in and, you know, show your potential and fulfill that. So I genuinely hope it comes off. There'll be a lot of people, I was speaking to someone today that has been in a situation from a work perspective where they were let go. And then I said, how's it been since? And he said, well, I've had a few job interviews recently and I was told that there could be something coming up. And then I've just been told, that's it. We're freezing everything, you're not going to get anything. And who knows what the other side looks like? Who knows if you're still first in line? There's going to be so many talented people potentially out of work that a one or two horse race for a position can become a 100 horse race for a position, because all your peers that were in quality positions around you have lost these jobs in independent firms. And that's not to say there won't be more that sprout up over time. There's going to be an opportunity for new blood, new agencies, new talent. But it's going to be difficult for a while, and folk can get disheartened, especially in the creative industries. I'm focusing on that because that's what we're in. And but every industry, don't get disheartened, man. Everything will land right. It's what I keep telling my girlfriend. Everything's going to land right out the other side of this, because fundamentally humans are fucking good people. That doesn't make sense. Apart from two animals, which is the whole reason we're in this mess.
We'll, what we're really seeing, and it's the reason why I've done what I've done on social media, is because people really magnify the ugly and the selfish, and it's out there in fucking abundance. But I mean, there's good stuff going on just now, so just keep an eye on stuff like that and look for things that will put a smile on your face, because the last thing you want to do is drive yourself daft. And if you're in the creative industries, get applied. See, you go into a supermarket and they've got the pure shite radio stations playing. My God, that's the place to get just now, because the whole world is just, it only cares about supermarkets. See that wee guy at Co-op FM? He's essentially fucking Chris Moyles now. Is Chris Moyles the big, see like the big radio DJ guy these days? Who's the guy? Greg James. He's the cool one that they all like.
Fucking hell, man. You sound like a dad. Which is funny, because your dad hates you.
Hello? Who's the good radio one? Oh, I think he's on Radio 3.
Shane, how are you feeling?
Do the radio at fucking a toilet paper factory. You are living the dream, because cunts apparently really like that. What the fuck are they? I see that the live show, and I don't think this is going into poos. Why should I use a poo, a roll of poo? I'm confused. But I have to clarify as well that I don't. I got told afterwards that I don't, and I was like, oh, yeah, but I don't want to let the truth get in the way of a good yarn. I use about a third of a roll for a poo. So, but like, even that, like, people are buying so many, and you're like, mate, calm your farm. I don't know.
Yeah, this is why we just leave other people in chat like this, isn't it? Just like, oh, so what do you think about that stockpiling crisis? You're like, I don't know, it's like a lot of toilet roll, isn't it? Like, just too much. Like, all right, okay, good. Thanks.
Last word we'll say on the live show, and you cut me off. Again, this is amazing, because everyone that's listening to this will hear the live show episodes coming up. But you cut me off right at the end of the live show, when I said, oh, and we should speak about what happened on Sunday. And that was a few weeks ago now. I think I'm calm. You guys seen me at the moment where this happened, and I was so fucking angry. And the live show went great, apart from the fact that they fucked up the live recording. Who's to blame? Who knows? And about, 5 or 6 o'clock, we were sitting down on Sunday. And we're discussing the live show, and we're putting it together. We actually did prepare it for as much as we said we didn't. And I'm saying, shut up. Make us seem more professional.
Really hard, all that preparation.
Listen, we're all trying to make sure we have careers.
We'll bring something to record it, and we'll make sure that it's going to record okay.
There's a reason that happened. And Shane will tell you, I had the recorder in a bag, and then you said we need USB sticks, that'll do it. And then we went and got USB sticks, and then they were like, no, that can't do it. But I had the recorder, and Shane went, should you take it anyway? And I thought, I'm going to get steaming tonight, and if I don't need it, I'm not going to bring it, because I didn't think we needed it. But again, that's besides the point. The main thing was fucking niche market. Yeah, we were doing some prep for the show, and I just turned around to Danny, because we'd know about fucking Dave and that visit that we had to broadcast a while back, and his fucking the fact that his nonchalance was just in full fucking show. So I went, have we checked that they are definitely going to have us? And we were like, yeah, they must do. And I went, have we though? And then I checked the website, and there was a fucking band playing the night that we were meant to be there. And that just fucking pissed me off, man. That pissed me off to no end.
There was a rage in you that I probably hadn't seen ever, where like me and Danny were kind of going, oh, that sucks. And Danny, I was kind of in the middle. Danny was trying to be more of a pacifist. and you were like, fuck this, let's go down and fucking find that Dave and then urinate on his car and then we'll fucking punch the band and we'll get rid of them and then we'll go to another venue. And Danny's going, whoa, we don't need to go to another venue. Let's just ask them. And you're like, no, fuck that. We're leaving. We're going to a new venue. We're doing it from your house, Shane. Fucking hell. And like, it was quite funny on reflection, but like, Danny was sitting there. You and Danny were like, one was like the devil and one was like the angel. Danny's like, nah, guys, maybe it's going to be all right. And you're like, fuck that. It's not going to be all right. Dave's a cunt. Fucking this band, that. This. And we even went and like recorded an angry intro to a podcast just to calm you down a bit because you were like, let's go do the intro. But we'll be like, fuck them and fuck this and fuck. And Danny's like, nah, maybe not. And I'm just sitting there going, I quite enjoy watching this unfold. I didn't want to
turn around to Mark Cox and go, oh mate, they've double booked it for this wee band that have like 17 followers. All due respect, they could be the next Lewis Capaldi, and if they are, then good luck to them. But we'd fucking went and met this guy, and then he was so nonchalant he didn't even put the fucking lights on, so we couldn't get a full picture. There was no engineer there, so we couldn't get a fucking full rundown of what we would need. And then we look on our website and we've not even got full bill, and we've sold it out. And that's not being egotistic, that's just saying, mate, we brought people to your venue, take fucking care of us. And they weren't. And then we were scrambling around thinking, right, we're going to need to get another venue. We're fucking shouting people from other venues that have been really nice and we'll definitely hook up with them moving forward. It's just like, I was ready for punching cunts, man. It was, and that band had done nothing wrong, but I was ready for Facebook messaging. I'm going, think you're fucking big guys, aye? And I know it's completely unreasonable. I'm like, yeah, fucking niche. How many tickets have you sold?
That was the funniest part, because you weren't even angry at the venue as much as you were at the band. And it's like, mate, this band doesn't know what the fuck's happened. They haven't like purposely gone, we fuck that podcast, man. Fuck that, sign us instead or book us instead. But nah, it all worked out fine. But sure. I reckon one day if you get the chance, you're going to have a fight with Dave. And mate, I'll back you up.
Nah, I think I'm going to need
to. Do you want to know the real story of what happened the next day?
Oh, no, yeah, okay, tell me the real story.
because I'm a safe distance away for 4 years.
What happened the next day?
The next day, so James that night sent a very, I don't know, he sent an email that I didn't see, but the deal was, I'd said, look, mate, if you haven't heard anything by midday the next day, we'll get in touch with people and maybe look at moving the venue. So it got to about 11 o'clock the next morning, and no one had replied to James' email. So I phoned the company and just explained the situation. And the guy was like, all right, oh, I didn't realise that. Right, okay, and blah, blah, blah. So he sorted it. But I then had to tell James that this guy had phoned and gave this pure grovelling apology. And James was like, did they apologise? Guy didn't apologise. And I was like, yeah, mate, he was so sorry. And he was like, right, I still want an email back from them. And I was like, oh, look, they'll get... He sounded a bit stressed. He didn't sound in the least bit stressed. He didn't give a... He clearly didn't give a fuck. So I just picked up the phone and the guy's like, yeah, I suppose I'll fix it. Right, cool. Yeah, you're definitely in. You've got it. No apology, no anything. But I had to tell James all of that just so that we could have our live show.
He's offered us his firstborn child. He's so sorry, man.
You're a dirty wee lying fucking cunt.
Oh, now he's wrapped up all over.
I'm going to email these cunts. Like, how can they be so? That fucking, they work in an industry where they're booking bands every single night. People don't take this is the level of professional standards that you don't need in an industry like this. You need to cultivate good working practice because there's many people around you. Like that niche market, the boys might be like, oh, I don't really want to do the band anymore. They fucking fucked us around, eh? I don't think they're from Edinburgh either. But like that, and that guy just going, oh, aye, mate, I'll just smoke a joint and then I'll come back and I'll get back to you. Like fucking wee lazy bastards. Give me his job. I'd fucking have it all operating smoothly. I was on every Tuesday night. Nah, fuck it, whatever you need to do. You've done that to me before when I've been upset. Then you've not told me the full story. I believe in a flight coming back from Orlando a few years ago, but still.
Yeah.
It's how you manage people, and sometimes you need to manage my anger when it comes to like stuff like that, because I can't... I admittedly was irrational, but I think that... So fuck
also,
you guys.
I think we... How big 70 people are. Like, I'm not going to go into it too much, but whoa, it was cozy.
Yeah, and that was without some people turning up as well, but which is good because it all added to the night. There was like a nice, it was just a fucking cool night, man. Like, I really enjoyed it. And I think now all of that drama added a little element to it as well.
Yeah, yeah, it did. And I do appreciate the guys in the venue, but that wasn't the stress we needed a few days before. But fuck it. We'll get that really good audio and Mark Cox out, and everybody will be like, amazing.
And it was a camera that was about 10 meters away from the stage, but right next to an ice bucket. So every 15 minutes, there's just...
I know. Fuck it. Don't matter. It was a good night. AOB, guys?
Nah. I hope everyone's doing well. Like, I haven't seen you guys in ages. I hope everyone that listens is doing well, and I hope...
But well, I was thinking about just fucking putting this out tomorrow. Like, let's just fucking do this as a separate thing where we just talk shit every few days like this.
Well, that's fine if we do that, but we could put a birthday episode for you out Monday, and we could put Love Island out on Wednesday or something.
Right, okay, cool.
Are we potentially spunking content?
That was Drunk Therapy. If you enjoyed this podcast, go listen to some of the other ones. The old you would have. If you're on socials, like us there as well. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @DrunkTherapy. It's something weird on Twitter, which I can't remember right now.